there's just a small line here that we want, rather than reading the whole verse, and we're going to see it there on the transparency in a minute. It's actually said twice. It is said the same question is asked in verse 29, and then it's asked in verse 32, and this is going to be kind of the basis this morning, if you'll bear with me here today. 2 Samuel 18 and 29, I want just this part of the verse, where that the king said, "Is the young man Absalom safe? Is the young man safe?" Now this little verse that was asked, there was actually two messengers that came to David, and the first one didn't really have the answer. You'll just have to read the story to get why. He wanted to run, so he got to run, but he didn't wait long enough to get the message, and so when he got there, he didn't have what the king really wanted to know. So he had to be set aside, and the faithful runner that was a little slower of foot finally got there, and David got the message that he wanted, the answer that he wanted. But I just want to talk a little bit this morning about, is the young man saved? Is the young man saved? Because, as I've said, this verse kind of represents the consummation of a battle that had just been fought between Absalom's armies and David's army. Now, you have to go back a few chapters, and you'll have to do this on your own, but you have to go back to find that Absalom, who was David's own son, had embarked upon a rebellion against his dad. He got to meeting with the people, and he thought he should be king, and he could do a better job, and he successfully turned a lot of the hearts of Israel away from King David, his father, and they began to follow him, and eventually David had to leave Jerusalem. He had to flee from Jerusalem because of this. And so those that were loyal to him, they left the city and they were marching away. And Absalom's army was right after them. You know how it would go. He was going to end the whole thing. And so after going so far, the time finally came that it was time to fight. And so David's army, those that were with him, his army, they turned to face Absalom. And the Bible says that God gave victory to the armies of David, and so Absalom was defeated. And then when the battle was all over and it was time to send a message, we come to the thought today. When the messenger got to David, he come running down there, and David was wanting an answer. Stay with me here. When the messenger came to David, he was not really interested in the details of the battle.
Right.
And that's what the messenger wanted to tell him. But he wasn't interested in the details of the battle, how it went, how many men they had lost. He wasn't interested in that. He wasn't concerned about his throne. You know, are the people going to follow me? He wasn't concerned about that. He wasn't thinking about his riches. He wasn't thinking about his prestige that went with his office. There was only one thing that was on his mind at that time, and that was, is the young man saved?
Right.
All the rest of it didn't matter right then. Right. That was his son, and he wanted to know if he was saved. Alarm for Absalom dominated the feeling of David. That was all that was on his mind.
Right.
It wasn't, how many men did we lose? How much riches? What kind of land? How is my son? How is the young man doing? Is the young man saved? Now, I believe today that we stand in the door of a great opportunity as far as the church is concerned. Where iniquity doth abound, the grace of God doth much more abound. I believe there's great opportunity for the church, the greatest opportunities that it has ever faced.
Yeah.
I also believe that the greatest hour for the church lies ahead.
Yeah.
We've had some good things in the past, but I'm not looking back, I'm looking ahead.
Right.
And there
right.
are some good things for the church that lies ahead. But while we stand at the door of opportunity for the church,
right.
we stand at the door of great disaster for the church.
Come on, that's good.
Amen. Where's my water? We stand at the door of the great of a great disaster for the church. Everybody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Lift your hands and thank the Lord, and I'll get you a drink of water. I believe that we stand at the door of great disaster because I believe that the enemy, the devil, the one that's seeking whom he may devour, is on the prowl. Now, y'all stay with me because I feel this morning.
Come on, you're doing good.
He's on the prowl, and he has not come for our buildings. He has not come for our money. He has not come for our moms and dads, but he has come for our children.
Right.
He has come for our boys and our girls who are not yet established in the faith.
Right.
He has come for those who have not yet equipped themselves with what they need to deal with the pressures of life. He has come not just to capture them.
Right.
He doesn't want to put them in a jail to laugh about his many defeats. He's not come just to capture them, but he has come to enslave them.
Right.
He's come to make them slaves of sexual desire, and slaves of drugs addiction, and slaves of alcohol, and slaves of homosexuality.
Right. Come on.
Slaves of every ungodly thing he can come up with today.
Right.
He has come for our children. We need to wake up here.
Yes.
There's great opportunity. And there's great revival.
Yes.
It's a great hour the church
Come
is facing.
On,
but on
yes,
the
sir.
Same turn, there
yes,
is an
sir.
Enemy sneaking up
right.
on our blind side
yes.
to snatch away our children. Is the young man saved?
Come on.
That's all that was on David's mind.
That's,
right. That's all he was thinking about. How's Absalom? How's Absalom doing? I believe today that our young people do not have trouble living for God inside the church.
All right.
I believe they don't have trouble contacting God in the altar.
Yes. Come on,
we try
us.
To help them. We think they're doing all right.
Yeah.
They're doing all right in the church. They're doing all right contacting God in the altar. Their trouble begins outside the church, where the individual is absorbed by the crowd, where right and wrong are not dictated by a code of standards, but by whatever that the majority says is right.
Yeah.
Right.
Hallelujah. Out there, ideas that are based on the Bible are considered outdated. Out there, honesty and integrity have been strapped, and character is no longer an asset. You hear me right this minute. I believe that the time has come for we as parents and we as the church of the living God to get under the anointing of God and get a fresh vision of our youth. We need the Spirit of God to so flow in our lives and out of our lives that we can show our children there's something greater in the church than what the world has to offer. Hallelujah. We need to show our children that the church is not a dead, boring, terrible place to go, but it's alive, and it has glory, and it has honor, and it has power, and vision, and destiny. We need to look that devil in the eye and say, not on my watch, devil. Do not get my children on my watch without a fight. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Is the young man saved?
Come on.
Now I know you can't do anything about your children when they reach the age of accountability.
Come on.
Okay, so don't get discouraged. I've done the best I'm good. And that's good. That's what I'm asking you to do.
Yeah.
When they get older, it becomes their decision. Not on my watch, devil. Man, there's something in my soul this morning.
Come on.
Something that refuses to sit back and watch him slip in a wolf in sheep's clothing and snatch one of our little ones out of the church.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Psalms 48:12. 13, Pastor started the year with a great message with this. I want to touch on something quickly. Where's my time? I want to touch on something quickly. There the writer says, walk about Zion. Walk around about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark you well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces. Please note this, that ye may tell it to the generation following. Please note that the writer says, pay very close attention when you walk about Zion to what you see, so that you can pass this along to the next generation, because their future depends upon it. You think you're just blowing in the wind by kicking them people on Friday night? Do you think you're just wasting your time in those Sunday school classes because you're not listening and they're climbing the walls and running over here? I tend to say that you're not. I tend to disagree. I think you need to hang in there. You need to get on your face and say, oh God, I don't want to pay any attention, but give me a word from you this morning, for my little children in there, for those young people on Sunday night. Because listen, what you give to them, their future depends on it. Walk about Zion, he said. Walk about Zion. Hallelujah. Walk about Zion. Their future depends on it. I believe. Now you hear me. Mark this down somewhere in your mind. I believe that each generation must pass along to the next generation who the Lord is, what He has done, and what they must do in response to His goodness and faithfulness. Now I'm going to take a little repose right here, if you'll excuse me. And I'm going to say that I am happy that I was privileged to be raised in this truth. I'm glad that my mom and dad walked me about Zion. Amen. I didn't understand about it when I was a little boy. In fact, I didn't want to go to church. It was rather boring for me. And I went to sleep in a lot of services. But they kept on taking me. They took me to church. And while I was sleeping, my little ears was being bombarded with songs of praise and glory I wasn't even listening to. And an old man that was a preacher, that was a man of the hour and a half, he got up there and he preached. But my little ears was taking that all in. Mom and Dad were walking me around Zion.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And I finally got to the age as a child when my friends were starting going to the altar. I still didn't understand all about it. But they were starting to get something, and I thought, I want that too. And finally, one night in the altar, God filled me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm glad for a mom and dad. You know what? Sometimes we say, well, let me say this right. I'm going to get out of my place here. So I hope you understand with me, okay? I think that nurseries are good. And I think we need to have them. But I think as moms and dads, we don't need to get the mentality that they're a father to us. In the church, they're going to father the preacher. I'm going to tell you, from all the years I preached, it was never the kids that bothered me. I could handle the kids.
Come on, make it plain.
Hallelujah. So we say, let's get a nursery to take care of it. And a nursery's all right. But I think that sometimes they need to come out into worship. And they need to watch mama start raising their hands. And dad start clapping his hands and stomping his feet. I think that they need to be told. I think we need to pass that along to them. And when they get out in the aisle and they start trying to dance like we do, we shouldn't say, no, don't do that. Just let them go. Because if the world gets them, they're going to dance to the world. The world's going to teach them how to dance. The world's going to teach them how to be like them. You let them learn to be like God and to worship Him in spirit. And it's true. Hallelujah. So I think there's a place to have them in worship. Yeah, and they make noises and they don't understand, but they're not going to bother to move the Holy Ghost. And they're in the ears that's going to hear it. Yeah, I got to the age. Now let's get off of that. Because it was all fun. I watched certain ones of those little boys who sit with me. We say, watch out. Oh, but don't get ready to take off. You know. you could time what was happening. But as I've gotten older, I got to tell you, I'm glad for that. I'm glad for what was put in me.
Yes,
walk around Zion. I got to hurry real quick. I'm glad for my parents that taught me. Stay with them, Mom and Daddy. Stay with them. Don't be discouraged. You keep bringing them to church. They ain't bothering, Pastor. They ain't bothering, Pastor. Even when they say, amen. My own grandkids got to say, peach it, Papa. Peach it. Hallelujah. They don't bother God. They don't bother preachers.
Right.
That's what they need. That's what they need. Listen to me. He said, walk about Zion, that you may, and mark well her bulwarks, and consider her palaces. Two things are mentioned real quickly. The bulwarks, as Pastor mentioned to us, indicate the outer part of the city. The walls, the defensive armor.
Right.
How secure that the city was. So, I think that's important. The bulwarks indicate the outward part of the city. The palaces represented the beauty of the city. The palaces indicated the interior.
Right.
You didn't want to set yourself there. Let me remind you of something. There's more to this thing than just the outside of it.
That
more than just the outward. In the Old Testament, let's say this before I get ahead of myself. In the Old Testament, I think we need to remind our youth of that. Let me say that first. There's more to this than what you see on the outward.
Right.
Amen. In the Old Testament, the Bible tells us that the tabernacle in the wilderness, the outside of that tabernacle, was covered with badger skins. And badger skins were pretty ugly, and they were coarse. Maybe they were even repulsive. I would imagine in my mind, if the as they traveled through the lands and the natives of that land, the enemies come up to look and say, let's see what kind of God those people have. And they walk up on the hill, land up on the hillside, looking down in the tabernacle, and they say, well, that's where their gods dwell. Man, ain't that a bad place? Look how ugly they are. We put ours in a big temple. We feel our, man, they must not have much of a God. Because the badger skins, when you first approached it, is all that you saw. All that you saw was the coarseness and the ugliness. But they protected the inward parts of that tabernacle. And inside the tabernacle, it's where the covenant was. It was where that was overlaid with gold. It was the table of shewbread was in there. The golden candlesticks were in there. The curtains of linen were there. And as you approached the tabernacle in the wilderness, all that you saw, I've got to make this point, all that you saw was the badger skins. Now, if we're not very careful, when we walk our children around Zion, we will let them only see the badger skins.
Come on now.
We need to do more than that. There's more to this than the badger skins.
Right.
You've got to get beyond the badger skins to enjoy the beauty of Zion. Because on the inside is the Holy of Holies.
Right.
The Ark of the Covenant that represented God's presence.
Yeah.
The beauty of the church today, it's not the outside buildings.
Right.
It's not driving them by and saying, you see that cathedral sitting on the corner? That's my church.
Yeah.
That's not what it's about. It's about more, and I think we should give God the best we can. Don't get me wrong. But there's something more that we need to call our children's attention to. It's not about the badger skin. It's not about the outside. It's about the inside of this. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Right.
If we're in Christ, we're in Christ, we become a new creature. It's about having a relationship with God. And that's the thing that's important. And I think we need to tell our children, it's worth it. The best thing about Zion today is when you get in it. Listen, baby doll. Don't stand on the outside.
Right.
Don't just come to church with me. Come on up and let's worship together.
Right.
Come up and pray with me. Come up and taste and see. You want to get them on the inside of this.
Yeah.
You want to get them into a relationship
with
God. You want to give them something more than just the outward things, the programs that we offer. Nothing wrong with them, but we need to tell them that there's a great beauty that you can have in a relationship with God. Because when the church music is gone and the lights are out and the doors are closed and they go home in the darkness of their little room with the child, away from the rest of the house.
Come on, tell it.
And the door's closed, and you're back there in the little room by yourself. And the only door way you walk through the kitchen in the house, but it's closed. The next door goes into a little garage that has no doors, it's just open. So as a little child, you lay there, and you start thinking all kinds of good things. And tears start rolling up. But you know what? That relationship with God, it throws you in the house. Oh, God, help me.
Yeah.
And your tears start rolling down your cheeks, and suddenly there's a presence comes into that room. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
Uh-huh.
It comes into that room, and a little child, you know everything's going to keep alive. You know everything's going to be out. There's somebody watching over you. That's what we need to get to us here. That's what we need to tell us. If we're in Christ. If you get this in your heart, I can give it to you.
All right.
I will give it to you. But if you're certain, I went to the altar with the Bible, and I wanted the Holy Ghost. For 2 weeks, I said this a lot of times, I get tired of hearing this story. Went to the altar, I was hungry, I want the Holy Ghost. Oh, my friend got the Holy Ghost, I could get the Holy Ghost. I was praying, and one dear old lady get beside me, and she said, come on, study, hang on, you might get it, hang on a minute. I was taking the word for everything I had. And on the other side, the woman said, turn loose, study, turn loose. You know, one of them would say, say hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And I said, hallelujah, hallelujah. You say, thank God. You know, y'all don't know anything. Trying to help me. Then I was trying to hang on, turn loose. I was trying to say hallelujah, thank you. I got so tongue tied up. But you know, one night, some way, I found out how to turn loose and hang on at the same time. One night, I learned how to say hallelujah and thank God all together. Because God filled me with the Holy Ghost. It's the greatest thing that your children can get. Sometimes it's worth telling our generation. Their safety depends on it. I'm going too long. The safety I have, I thank you. Their safety depends on it. You get the Holy Ghost in them. You get the Holy Ghost in them. You get them in Christ. I know y'all know this, but I'm just giving you what I feel to give you this morning. And you send them out to school, and you can't go with them. They're going to be all right. Yeah. How are they going to be all right? They're going to stop the kids from picking on them? Not necessarily, but it's going to give them a strength to stand and say, I'm not ashamed of what I am. I'm not ashamed of who I am. All right. You're getting tired on that. I can tell. Let's wrap this up. It's worth telling them. Now hear me. All that some people seem to see is the badger skin. When they walk around Zion, that's all they seem to see. Well, so and so did. But you're so strong. Did you hear that? Did you see that? I told you, already hurt for being stepped up. Some people only see the badger skin. But I am charging everyone, if I may this morning. If it's all right, Pastor. I'm charging everyone in this morning devotion. Don't you dare dwell on the negative. Find something good. Find something of virtue. Find any praise and speak on those things. Don't open your mouth to make the church look ugly. Because I'm telling you, the church is not ugly. There is absolutely nothing ugly about God.
Right.
Nothing. There's nothing about God's ways, about the things of God, that's ugly. Psalm 16 and 11 said, in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Ain't nothing ugly about that. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. There's righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. We need today to lead this devotion. And I hope you're thankful, and I hope that God wakes you up and brings you here. I got an obligation to my children. I've got an obligation to the generation that follows. Whether or not my kids, oh yes. Yes, as a part of the church, you're obligated. Yes, you are. As the body of Christ, we're all obligated. Yeah, you're obligated. Well, ain't my kids. They're not your kids in the flesh and blood, but they're your kids, and you need to do what's right in front of them. Come on. You need to tell them, yeah, Johnny, ain't their mama, daddy. God will make a way. God will provide. God will be there. You need to back up and support the church and get together. We are losing our kids. The devil is, I'll say it again, he is on the prowl, and he's not come for our goods, he's come for our children.
Right.
And he is swallowing them up. Look at the revolution that's going on in our world. Because now our young people in school, 16, 15, 17, by getting together, we can make, our voice can make a difference on the Capitol. The devil knows how strong that united youth are. That's why he'll do everything he can to reach in and pull your child out of the church. But we're not going, not on our watch. We're going to do everything we can. And we need to be dominated. Let me close with this. We need to be dominated with protecting the most precious physical treasure that you have on this earth. Maybe the only thing you can take to heaven with you, and that's your children. Your children. Is the young man safe? Is he safe? Well, yeah, I mean, I'm sad. I'm not talking about nothing. I'm talking about spiritual. Israel was told back in Deuteronomy that they needed to teach their children. God said, this is important. You think God's not invested in what I'm preaching here? He's invested totally in this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently. He just didn't say teach them. He emphasized that. Diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk about them when you sittest in thine house, when you walk in the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. All we ever hear is about God in our home. That's the best thing to hear. It's all about Him. It's all about Him anyway. You ain't going to make it on your own. You ain't got enough strength. You ain't got enough money. You'll never get out of this world without the Lord. There's no salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven. You're not going to make it on your own. You're not going to make it. You need Him. Let's stand together. Salvation is of the Lord. And when Jonah got in the belly of that fish or whale or whatever you call it, he may have repented and said a lot of things, but nothing happened until he said that. Salvation is of the Lord. And then that fish or whale or whatever got so upset with his stomach, because that's where salvation is at. I feel God in a burden for our children. Well, mine's not a child anymore. There's not much you can do. When they're little, when they're small, they're like cement. You can move them around, trowel them, mold them. Let the cement set a few days and it gets hard enough if you hit it with a sledgehammer down to the back of your head, down to the back of your leg. You get what I'm saying? I'm just saying, while you have a chance at it. Hey, you aunts and uncles, if you got a little one that you get to take care of, when you rock them, say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Sing to them. Is the young man safe? I believe it's our obligation to tell the generation that follows. Our kids, my grandkids, your kids, they are important to us. That we get the streets to them. That we get them hungry. Don't laugh at them. No, it's easy. We're going to try to mimic them. And sure don't discourage them if they try to stand and run and dance before the Lord. Man, if you don't let them follow after the Lord, the devil's going to drag them. Do you think he's going to be there when they get bold when they're dancing on the dance? No, that's what he's going to do. He's out there.